This video will be sponsored by SNHU. So it's 2025 and cybersecurity is still all the rage. Breaches are at an all-time high and so are cyber salaries. But there's a problem you keep running into. Cyber jobs you want to land are requiring a degree and you don't have one. Let me introduce you to today's sponsor, Southern New Hampshire University, SNHU. SNHU has a flexible online program that also touts one of the lowest tuitions in the country. SNHU is an affordable, accredited, nonprofit university that has dedicated career advisors, webinars, internships, and more to prepare you to enter or advance in the workforce. There's a 32% projected growth of information security analyst roles through 2032, and according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the median security analyst salary in 2023 was $120,000. In SNHU's program, you can learn about these critical subjects: cybersecurity foundations, networking, incident response, risk management, enterprise security, and more. As a cybersecurity professional, these are all important courses. If you would like to know more about SNHU's program, then please visit snhu.edu/textual or click the link below in the description. Welcome back, everybody, to the first crossover episode of the
Textual Hackers.
First one done. I don't know if I've seen a collaborative effort like this
before. I'm the first to do everything.
Hey, claim it.
But man, if y'all watching right now, y'all know what to do. Follow me, follow them, subscribe, like, hit the bell icon to be notified on everything.
Yeah.
And if you're listening, follow and also leave us a review.
Ooh, that's good.
Tell a friend.
We got the good people from Hacker Proof today. We got...
Yes, sir.
I was going to be funny and say, bye-bye, Daniel.
His people will know.
That's my people know. All my TikTokers know. Bye-bye, Daniel.
Yeah. And we got Victoria.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say Vicky O.
I have a few names,
What's the one you introduce yourself?
What's your alter ego? The one that you tell people your name when you're out?
VZ. Yeah.
Where VZ come from?
Okay, so you know, back in the day when Chris Brown was like Breezy, Lil Wayne was like Wheezy, I was okay, I'm VZ. Okay. Like,
I get it. I got a.
And it just stuck with me since like high school. People just call me that. Like,
I got a variation of my name. That's HDZ.
HDZ? Oh, period.
Yeah, everybody was putting easy on the last name.
That's what I'm saying. So.
But nah, man, it's been a while. We were supposed to do this,
you know,
last year, whatever stuff. Then
I think we're still too fresh in the industry, so you know, we had to wait. Every time has a time, and I think this time is perfect. So you know, appreciate you wanting to do this, and just having this collaborative effort out there is wonderful. So appreciate you and appreciate you guys.
Oh, y'all been working, man. I've been saying, I was like, y'all done had Chris over there. Y'all done had Yasmin. Y'all done had Phantom Marie.
Yeah.
And a lot more to come. So.
Y'all even had my guy from Chicago pull up, Kevin.
Kevin, you know Kevin?
We talked. Wow. He's supposed to do the show too. We talked. It's been a minute. I hadn't followed back up in a while.
Yeah, bring him on. Busy.
Kevin's an amazing guy. Kevin is chill.
He has all the TikTok movements down. It's the lotion. Hey, let me tell you here. The hat. I can always tell who knows how to work the short form.
Okay.
Because they're always doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. It's the movement.
Hey, well, my man Chris got it down, man. My man Chris got
science.
It down.
Yeah.
I heard you got a big TikTok.
She's playing. Yeah, Africans know me, but Americans don't know me.
Watch, they'll be in the comments. Like when we post videos, they'll come in the comments. Oh, bye bye, Daniel. Like he has his own like world in TikTok. It's outside of Hacker Proof. He has his own archetype.
She's just lying.
I'm lying.
Nah, it's actually the people that know me from my TikTok probably know me as Baba with Phones.
Oh, okay,
it's not even Baba Daniel. It's only Baba with Phones.
Oh, sorry.
But
they'll be there.
Baba sound like a person that like to get sections in the club.
No, I'm grown past that. I make mature choices. Investment.
Yeah.
That's how you're gonna grow your funds. Maybe when I was younger, I don't mind buying a drink. Actually, Houston is that lifestyle. If you stay in Houston.
Houston's not a real place. I had to get up out of there.
Really?
Ooh. Oh, you used to be there?
When I went to Afrotech, I had to get up out of there. Sunday morning, I got on the highway. You know, you're supposed to stay in Houston on Sunday. I had to go in the morning.
Hey, you know what y'all should do with y'all mixing?
I was done.
You couldn't do it? Houston got you?
I was done. To get there on a Wednesday, I was done.
Girl, the Saturday was when even we...
Quick, Quick question. What is so bad about Houston?
It wasn't bad. Uh-huh. It wasn't bad. It was a lovely time. I had too much fun.
She was just tired.
That's why I had to come home.
Yeah.
I had to come realign myself.
Yeah. Honestly, the Sundayers are the ones that just don't know when to stop.
Yeah.
Because, like, by Saturday evening,
I was ready to go. Saturday evening.
I know what you mean. The Sundayers are the ones that just, they can't stop.
Yeah.
They can't stop.
And I didn't know that, well, I went there last year for my bachelorette, but I didn't know that y'all do it like that all day Sunday. I thought it was a brunch midday situation.
No, ma'am.
When I called to get section details, they was like, for the morning or night? And I was like, at night?
Yes, ma'am.
At night?
Yeah.
Yeah. Houston's that's when it not even, a real place.
Yeah. Sorry.
Y'all don't go to sleep.
We don't.
That's why I had to go home.
Oh, yeah.
To be honest, if you're someone who's trying, I shouldn't even say this.
You should say it. That's true.
If you're someone who's trying to, you know, build something and not party a lot, Houston's not a place for you. But if you're someone who likes that lifestyle of pure entertainment, going out, staying out to 5 a.m., Houston is the right place for you.
I'll say this, too. I feel like Houstonians are people that have things going for themselves, but we don't lead with our careers. Like, I feel like in Dallas, D.C., or wherever, they lead with, like, oh, I'm a GRC analyst. I'm a this.
I think they do that in D.C. I don't really see that much here.
I've seen it in Dallas a little bit.
Like, might be the new people. Like, I've been here for a while.
Dallas is more of a corporate capital, almost like a corporate capital in Texas.
Yeah, it's the corporate Texas.
Yeah.
So, they lead with what they do.
We buy, like, all the big four spots. Like, all, like...
So, PwC.
PwC, KPMG, yeah, you Deloitte, guys have all this over there.
Salesforce.
Goldman Sachs is right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, but I never cared about wearing my badge out to show you where I work. Because one, same. I believe in security, so I don't want you to know where I work.
I don't want you to know. Thank you. That's true. But some people, they lead. That's like their MO is, I do this at this. What do you do?
It helps them also. So it's not anything, you know, negative about that. It's just, you know, how people.
Yeah,
people
I normally would say if I met you, oh, yeah, cool, what you do? But it wouldn't be, oh, I'm so-and-so. It's kind of like once we got into talking, like, oh, yeah, you know, I've been doing that. I might even say that. So, oh, yeah, I got a podcast.
I gotta ask you one thing, because you guys have had a lot of people that you guys have interviewed and, you know, had the episode with. How's people compared to, like, DC people compared to, like, people from Texas when you guys do the interview? How are their personalities?
You know what? I can't even recall how many people cite natively from Texas, to be honest.
Most people I meet are not from Texas. Mm-hmm. They migrated here for better opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let me ask this one then. How Atlanta compared to, like, D.C.?
That's an interesting
Atlanta one. Respectfully gives me
scammer vibe.
It gives me love and hip hop housewives. Like, always.
Uh-huh.
I don't even know the word. I just know that you're it's talking about absolutely the
place or
the
people. Not like performative or like what do you
not
mean?
Not performative. It's just the culture. They're very I don't want to say trendy. But to me, I don't like it because you can't tell what's real and what's fake.
Gotcha.
Like, because you have people who really do live this life, and then you have people who are fronting. And so for me, it's difficult to understand
decipher, like, who is who.
Who's doing what. Yeah. And I want to know what I'm doing and who I'm with, and, you know.
Yeah, I think it's a place for a person that wants to build, like, a persona for themselves and live off of that. And that's fair. If I lived in Atlanta, I probably would have to put up a front too to kind of get into certain rooms and meet certain people, because they probably won't respect you unless you had a certain demeanor and
the
whatever
notoriety.
About you. So.
I was referring to a corporate lifestyle, like Atlanta compared to D.C., but...
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't... You know what? I wouldn't know. I do see, like... D.C. has always, like, a lot of tech events and stuff going on, mixers and stuff like that. Now, I got some friends in the ATL that actually be here next month. Mm-hmm. They normally have stuff that's going on out here. I mean, honestly, stuff that's going on out here, too, but I be so busy, man. Mm-hmm. Outside of doing this and creating content and coaching clients, I be in the house.
That's true.
Yeah.
I had to rest up to say if we're going to do something and go all day.
Mm-hmm.
The weekdays be busy. Most of the people who are working.
Think about toddlers and kids. We just talking about Miss Rachel and Miss Monica and all these other different things that you got to worry about. And now getting other kids into school. It's a lot. Like, thinking about meeting people at events is the last thing. If I ever go, like the one time I went to Mixer Cloud, it was strictly because I wanted to get some, like, probably people to come on the show. And I think I might have found one or two people. Maybe.
I haven't been in a long time.
Everybody else was there. No, go ahead.
How did the Houston Mixer Clouds hit? It looks like Dallas has a lot more people, but I've seen that the Houston, their tech mixers. It looks like it's growing.
It is. Yeah. It is growing. The last one I went to, it had a good turnout. They had a really, really good turnout, and I saw familiar faces, new faces. I really enjoyed the way they set it up. But I think Houston is developing its corporate persona, like corporate tempo or something like that. So
Dirty South.
Yeah, we're used to, like, you know, socializing, like going there to mingle, hunt, you know, things like that. So I feel like we're now transitioning into where we go in there with a purpose and a plan to be intentional about.
Do you still go to the Galleria?
No, I'm done with the Galleria.
Galleria?
Unless I have a specific thing I need to get from there. It's just not the Gallo it used to be.
The last time I stayed there, I stayed at the Regency.
I did too, and I liked it.
Yeah, me too.
It was very easy for me to get around.
Okay. Yeah, that's a central point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like the Gallo's for the YNs now. Like, YNs? The YNs have taken over the Galleria.
Jesus. Hey, get a like, Deontay.
Yeah, like, all my YNs, you know what I mean? Like, y'all took it over. Like, I'm talking, you park your car, and before you go in there, somebody already hustling you out of, like, a dollar or something.
Oh, so they try to be like Atlanta, selling water boys and stuff like that.
Yeah, like, on the street, or rolling dice, and here. Or, do that? Yeah, like, or what is the game where, like, they'll be like, oh, pick a card or something, or
okay,
guess which one is under the cup, like things like that, just hustling you out of a dollar before you can get into the mall.
I ain't mad at it. You do the math.
Yeah. I mean, they're making money.
That's why I said, like, out here, when I moved out here, I started seeing, like, so many more homeless people. And I started doing the math on, like, who I thought was actually homeless and who wasn't. And I was like, if about 30,000 cars pass through here and about, you know, 3% of them give them $1 to $5.
A lot of money.
They had to work.
Yeah. They're making, that's a hustle.
I be seeing people out there panhandling. They got full clothes on. Not that you got to look dirty, but they don't look like they're needing anything. Mm-hmm. They look like that sign is fresh and clean. And you just walked out the house and you wrote on it. For real.
That reminds me of TikTok I seen where a dude was like, when you're trying to walk into the store, somebody's panhandling you and it's supposed to be a homeless person, but they had a printout of a Cash App QR code.
It's crazy.
Maybe he was short arms, needed some rent.
When he walked up, he told the man his phone was dead. But when he went in the store, he paid with Tap to Pay. Uh-huh. And the man came in and looked at him, gave him that look. He was like,
now he clocked him.
I think I was just telling someone that this morning. Even in Nigeria, some people who are beggars in the streets are millionaire. So it doesn't really matter. It's a front.
Yeah.
It's a front. Yeah. People are hustling. It's just their way of hustling.
Yeah.
Right.
Where the people falling for it? Who's giving them the $1, $2? So. What do you blame at the end?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cool. So this is what we're going to do, guys. Because you may not be familiar with them, and then y'all may not be familiar with us on y'all pages. So what we're going to do is do the round robin and let everybody give a brief intro about themselves. It's okay. Like we onboarding at a new job. So we're going to start off with Daniel.
I am Daniel. Let me just get this off me a little bit. Daniel, the founder of Hackerproof. We've been running for over close to 1.5 years now, and Victoria is a partner and a co-founder of Hackerproof. Victoria, introduce yourself. I'm quiet.
Hey guys, how are you? I'm happy to be here. Your favorite co-host on Hackerproof, Victoria. But for those that don't know me, I'm a GRC analyst. Been working it for a few years now, and I joined the team on Hackerproof with Baba Daniel, Ugo, Kimby, Kobe. Shout out to the team.
Hey.
And we've been running it since. And yeah. That's my introduction. I don't know what else I need to shout out, but
by the way, I missed that part. I'm gonna add it since Vicky added it. Also, cloud security space.
Okay. Yeah.
My turn. Hi, everyone. If you have not seen my lovely face, I'm Cyber Shorty, and I am a security cloud solution architect by day and a cybersecurity instructor at night. And on the weekends, I do content for cybersecurity as well. So very busy, but that's a little bit about me, and I am the co-host of your favorite podcast, The Textual Talk.
I liked your intro better. I'm like, I probably should have broken it down. Okay. Let me try.
We can do. I can do.
No, it's cool. We're just joking.
Oh, okay. And what's going on, everybody? If you don't know me, I'm HD. I am the host of The Textual Talk podcast. Also, I run the media company Textual Chatter, and I'm also a cybersecurity and cybersecurity and career coach for Textual Consulting. And the last decade of my life, I've been in IT and cybersecurity. And I like making friends, and that's what we're doing today. I've been doing this about 5 years, and I got about 15, 20 more in me.
That's good.
Yep.
So
So I think we should also try this. Maybe we just talk about a little bit how we got started in our career.
Yeah,
because that's important to know, because our platform is our educative platform where people are looking to break into the field. Come to us and watch our content to know. So who wants to start it off?
It don't matter. I'm doing read and react like football. So like if I happen to see somebody saying something, I pull back and wait. So
all right. So Daniel, cloud security space, been in it for over 10 years now. All cloud service provider I'm pretty good at. I know how to spin up an instance. Mm-hmm. And just security and having security conversation is, you know, what I'm good at. So that's me.
Hey, everybody. So I'm a GRC analyst. Everything GRC, compliance, governance, risk, every part of it, third-party risk management, auditing, internal auditing, all the beautiful parts of risk and compliance. I've been doing it for about 4 years now. Like, it sounds crazy to say that, like, that I've been in the space that long, or probably more than four, honestly. I've lost count. But I started at a law firm, got my feet wet there, learned the ins and outs. Did the third-party risk management, customer side, auditing side of it. And then I wanted to pivot into a software space because I wanted to be somewhere where I felt like I can learn more, which I definitely have now. So now I work at an IoT company, a SaaS company that has a SaaS offering, and I'm loving it. Like, I've learned so much about, like, the architecture of technology and how the developers work, engineer. It's a beautiful time. And so, yeah, GRC, anything you want to know? Ask me.
Real quick before Destiny goes, what is SaaS?
Software as a service.
I was asking for the listeners.
Oh, okay.
I thought we were having the quiz. I was just trying to feel myself. Which one do I ask you?
No, because like when I've gone on other platforms and I've kind of explained what I do or whatever, I try to be in mind. They may not be familiar with me.
That's true.
So if I use an acronym, I'm like, you know, that stands for such and such, and this is what that does. But yeah.
So like when a company offers a software as their primary service to their clients, like which my company does is SaaS. Yeah.
All righty. So I got into this industry because I was tired of being broke.
Oh, okay. That's everybody.
See, basically.
Seriously, though, I knew the job that I had was not going to be what I was going to do forever. I was like, what's next? So, yeah, that's how I got here.
Mm-hmm.
Went back and got my master's in cybersecurity, and I really jump-started my career into the industry. And so I've done a few different things. I've done vulnerability management. Mm-hmm. I've done technical business management. And now I've done customer success.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm doing the cloud solution architect
role. Let me ask you one question. You say you had your master's in cybersecurity, right?
Mm-hmm.
So is the master's still needed? Like let's say if you're applying for a job and you're trying to get a job, is it good to have your master's like a plus?
I think it depends on the company, the recruiter, their culture. You have the twofold. You have the people who say you don't need the degree. You have the people that say you do need the degree. For me personally, I needed to get the degree because I wouldn't have been able to learn that amount of information in 2 years, period. I needed the structure, I needed the guidance, and everything I learned in my program actually helped propel me in my career.
Yeah.
So if you're speaking to someone in college now and, you know, they're looking to get, like, let's say a bachelor's in cybersecurity or some kind of tech-related degree, would you suggest that they go also for a master's in cybersecurity?
I think it depends. I think if you get your, if you get an undergrad in it, I feel like from that point, you might want to get a little bit more specific. I would say get some experience first.
Yeah,
never say leave that degree and then jump right. Because you might find that you don't want to get a master's in that. Maybe you want to get it in information systems or management, an MBA.
Mm-hmm.
You might feel like you want to branch out a bit more. So I would say get some more exposure and experience, do some internships first, and then you can pivot over.
Okay. Yeah, because before I agree. I think the experience part is so important. I think people are usually like in a hurry to get their master's after their bachelor's so they can be done by But I think you have more, like you would understand what the people are talking, what your instructor's talking about a lot more once you get your experience, and you will know what program to sign up and pay for because it's not free.
I literally feel that same way. Like if I were to do my master's now versus when I did it 4 years ago, the value that I would have gained from it now that I have that exposure and experience, but I wouldn't have been able to get it without the degree. So I definitely I agree there.
I also tell people, hey, like I'm all for you getting it, but see if you got a company that'll cover the cost.
That's true.
That's what I did.
Because when I was working at McAfee, they were supposed to cover the cost. Like they was paying for a dude to go to SMU. So I knew they could have paid for my school.
That's an expensive school.
But sadly, they had to reorganize that go. So like every time when I started school, I had a job. So I was like, okay, cool. I do reimbursement here. Mm-hmm. Then this place happened. I was like, bet I'm only going to probably have to have a loan, maybe like 2 semesters. Mm-hmm. Then the rest will be taken care of by them.
I feel like a major of corporations nowadays, they either give you like $2,000 for tuition or they're trying to help you like tuition reimbursement. So that's an option available with most workplace, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Most companies I've worked at have had it, but yeah. It depends. Most of the companies I've worked at have been Fortune 50 and lower, mm-hmm. 500, mm-hmm. 200. So mm-hmm. if you're working somewhere that doesn't just have that in the budget, then that's that might true. Not be feasible.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say though, like that's all part of the scouting process when yeah. you want to ask the recruiter about, hey, you know, how do you guys feel about educational development? Mm-hmm. And then that's when they lay it out. Oh, you get, you know, $3,000 dedicated to certs. Mm-hmm. You can get the tuition reimbursement up to $10,000, you know, a year.
That's nice.
You
do,
like all this type of stuff. You get this stipend or all
those are
different
great
things.
Perks to have.
Yeah, because yeah, those companies are the companies that do actually want to invest in people. Yeah. And so that's why, you know, a lot of times.
I like when they're open with what you can choose. Because mm-hmm. I was in a claim specialist role mm-hmm. and I seen a cybersecurity degree under the tuition reimbursement. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, I just don't have to stay and be limited to mm-hmm. insurance. Because what if that's not what I want to do long term?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Right, right.
Exactly.
I don't think I even said what I do, but
I think you're next. We just...
Yeah. Right.
I know, I just interjected. Right. Nah, y'all good.
No, it was good.
For me, I've been in the industry since really before 2014. So technically, mm-hmm. I was doing like IT, help desk stuff in the college of business in 2012. Mm-hmm. And more specifically, I've been in cyber since 2017. So, yeah, I'm getting up there.
Mm-hmm. And it's the experience, though. Right. You know, it keeps you in the market. You can easily find the job.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm in the SecOps and incident response space. I've actually did a little bit of GRC work when I worked mm-hmm. with JP Morgan.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I got to use Archer. And.
Oh, gosh. I don't want to comment.
And so the other stuff. But ironically, as I was in my first job here in 2016 at the NOC, that's when I decided to go to grad school. But my master's is not in cybersecurity. It's actually in IT management.
Oh, okay.
Because I wanted to be more diverse mm-hmm. because a lot of stuff that I learned, I did at different companies. Like when I had to do that GRC role, I had to do a lot of meetings mm-hmm. and presenting and
yeah.
trying to get buy-in for certain things, mm-hmm. things that we worked on in the master's. Mm-hmm. And so like I have people right now on the short I made where I said I'm in favor of master's over bachelor's. These fools think I'm saying you can skip a bachelor's to a master's.
Oh, and come on. You can't even get a bachelor's without a bachelor's.
But that's what they think. I'm saying I like the structure of how they actually teach you useful stuff.
Because you have to take all those history and...
Yeah, I had just teach them in high school.
Especially if you go to a... what is the word? If you go to a school that is something arts. I can't think of it.
Liberal arts?
Yes. If you go to a liberal arts school, then you do have to take courses that are... I got to theater. In undergrad.
Was it fun?
It was.
Okay.
See. I saw a lot of good plays.
But see, I didn't have to take that because in high school I took fine arts and it was a college credit. Mm-hmm. So like, that's the thing is like, I wish like dual enrollment became more of a thing after I was gone. Like my little sister has like, I think the credits are like a sophomore now.
It was prevalent when I was in school, but it wasn't talked about to where I got the details about it. Because if I would have known, I would have definitely went for it and probably been different in high school. Because
you could just take my little brother hasn't been in school that long. I think he'll be done next semester or something like that. He'll be making 20 in June. Yeah, he'll be making 20 in June.
Wow. 20 what?
20
years old.
Oh, I thought you said making 20 kids.
20 kids.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
At first I was like, but then I was like, oh.
He'll be 20 in June, but I've been trying to, he got my major, so I've been trying to help him a little bit. But
my sister, she graduated high school with college credit.
Really? Is it AP classes?
It was, she did take AP, but she had classes at the local community college.
I'm going to say this out loud. Uh-oh. If you could, I feel like AP... Sorry, I don't want to say it's a scam.
It is a scam.
Okay, it's a scam.
Why do you believe so?
I say that if the better route to do, the better route to go through the dual credit. Because the AP exam, first of all, the exam is really hard. You're not going to get prepped properly for it. Like, depending on your school or your educator or whatever, you're not going to get the material you actually need to pass this test. You need a 4 or 5 to get the credit. Yeah. Most likely you're going to get a 2 or 3, depending on the preparation you got. Because I'm not spending my whole day and night studying AP history, A push, AP English. I have so many other
classes. And I knew people that was in them classes that it didn't really do nothing for them in the long run.
I'm one of them. I took three. I took three. Yeah. I took one every year, and guess what? For AP Psych, I went to sleep. I didn't even take the exam. When it was time to take the exam, because I knew I wasn't going to get the college credit.
Yeah, I'm not passing this exam.
I knew. I agree with you. But the kids these days in certain areas, they are actually very, very bright in learning the material, and they are passing and getting fours and fives. So I feel like it depends on
where you are.
I just felt like it was more of a intellectual flex for a lot of people.
It was.
I took the enriched classes. Yeah, I didn't care to take the AP classes because I was trying to enjoy it. You know,
but I only took the class to get the double credit from the school for that area. That's the only reason.
The GPA booster too. Like when you do AP for our school, like you're now on a 5.0 scale. So like you get to be in the top 10 because because it was helping your GPA versus you being on a 4.0 scale. So that helped as well.
Yeah, I won't lie. So the high flex school, was definitely. I was just trying to pass with a 3-point something and just get done. Because even though I got a bachelor's and master's, school is not really
your thing.
It's my thing, but it's not my thing. You know, Africans, your parents, you got to go to school. You got to BDM pass. Yeah. But just beside that, school is not really.
I was going to say, speaking of that, how do they feel when you said you're going to do cybersecurity?
I was actually a pre-med student.
Wow.
Yeah. I was doing pre-med for almost 2 years. I was skipping. I was in college. I was skipping class. Doctor. I was skipping class. I wasn't even going to class. At one point, I was like, all right, is it that I drop out of school or find something else to do? And I remember like when I was younger, I used to break my dad's computer apart and like...
Tinker with it,
trying to see how it works. I was like, okay, I talked to my counselor. He's like, all right, try cybersecurity. That's how I got into it. And I did my undergrad in computer engineering. Luckily, I passed because there was a lot of Africans in my school. And we all like just grouped up and worked together. But if I didn't have that group of people, I probably wouldn't have graduated college.
Really? Yeah. But you know what's funny? I was reading some a while back and saying it was comparing like all the ethnicities.
Yeah.
And what they do in school. And they was finding out like the people who study together, they all tend to do better. Because you can cover for what somebody else don't know and y'all can learn it together.
Yeah. It's always a good time. We were just talking about that. Bond.
Having that community.
And that's how it was for me. My hardest class I took in school was quantitative analysis.
Right.
That sounds interesting.
It's just a fancy term for statistics.
I was just going to say, no, that sounds like statistics part two.
Like an advanced statistics.
It was. Like, all I remember is like.
And that was the hardest class for me, too. And I probably got a C or a D.
I got a C.
Is that in college or in high school?
In college.
In college?
I didn't have any problem with math classes. It was mostly the ones that had like deep reading. Then I don't like reading too much sometimes. Really? So it just gets tiring. Even work, if they send you an email that's too long, I'd rather read the short email that has all the details than read the long, wordy email. Because, come on now.
Yeah. I don't think I remember. It was like X-Bar. And funny enough, we studied together. I knew all the stuff, but I was putting my symbols wrong and I was getting the question wrong.
Really?
Yeah. So, like, if it was, let's say it's supposed to be 5, I was putting -5. So, I worked it one type of way and got something out of whack. I was like, I knew this stuff. I was like, I knew all these things. I had all these like freaking crap written down.
One of those. Yeah.
Yeah.
You gotta be careful with your signs.
When did y'all start taking life seriously?
Like in what sense?
So like I'll give my brief story. Okay. So you know, you're in high school, right?
Yeah.
You like, I'm going to college. But like, what are you doing to get there? Ooh. So I took a college tour at my dream school and they were like,
It
was Grand Valley State University. Okay. It's in Michigan.
Okay.
And so they were like,
that's actually a good question.
What, not Michigan State?
No. I would have flunked. If I would have went to a D1, a big school like that, I would have absolutely flunked.
Why?
Girl, I would have been partying.
Oh, girl.
I would have not been going. The campus was too big. I was a very, this school is kind of smaller compared to Michigan State and the U of M. But
girl, it would make a time, though.
I took the tour and they were like admissions was like, what's your GPA? And I was like, it's like a 2.8. It's like a 2.8. And they were like, girl, you was not getting in here.
Reject.
And so that was my wake up call. That was my wake up call. And I was just like, oh my God, what do they mean I'm not gonna get in? And so after that I got all A's.
Yeah.
To bring my I think I graduated with a 3.2. But that was hard.
Yeah.
Yes. But that's when I started getting serious about life. That's immediately when I was like, wow, I didn't know what I was supposed to be. I don't even know what I wasn't not doing my work at all. I just wasn't really putting my all into it.
I think mine was when I moved in with myself in my own apartment. I said, I got to pay my bills now. So then I started working. I was just trying to, like, you know, when you start a job, you just want to make sure you don't get fired. So when I started working, I was just making sure I learned everything because I want to make sure I stay hired. So ever since I started working, this life has been serious for me. I got to pay my own bills. As you're getting older, you're acquiring more. So you got to make sure you're able to take care of yourself.
I'd probably say from college. I mean, really before college, to be honest. Just from having blue collar parents and the kids and stuff like that, I was like, yeah, I don't want to be like this when I get older. So
that's true.
I'm going to get out of here and take it seriously. So serious that I thought I was going to be an architect. So,
like an architect? Like,
basically, you kind of an architect.
Huh? Like,
yeah,
drafting out.
Mm. Yeah, because I took wood shop and welding in college. I mean, high school. So I was like, okay, cool. I know I made me a little what's the thing called? A shelf. I made a shelf. Mm-hmm. I made a yard sign. Mm-hmm. I made a rolling pin. Mm-hmm. You know, for my grandma. Mm-hmm. I used a lathe.
Why'd you stop?
Because I'm not that exceptional at drawing, and I didn't want to. First of all, I was in pre-architecture, so my grades weren't even the best I needed to be to start. Mm-hmm. Now I was going to take all these drafting classes. They used to, the architects and like the interior design people used to always have to like pretty much sleep inside that building because they were so busy. Then I looked up what their salary start off with. I said, I'm not doing all that work to get what a person who was here that barely did stuff make that amount of money. So I said, I'm not doing all that work to like get out and make like 40K. Mm-hmm. Let me go do my first level. Let me go find something with computers. Mm-hmm. And I looked, I had this. It's on my YouTube, but it's a map. I mean, not a map, but like a sheet that shows like different salaries based on the job. I was like, okay, cool. Because back then I was like, if I could just make 80K, I think I'd be straight.
Back then it was straight. 80K, 70K. Like when I first got in the field.
It's still something today. Because a lot of people ain't making that.
That is true.
That's still something. And that's a lot of people's starting points when they're breaking out and first starting.
But I was thinking about like just, when how I used to rack my brain around it. Because you got to think about it. At the time. From where I was from, houses is cheap in Shreveport. So you can get probably a 4-bed house, probably like for right now, probably still for like 220, 250 maybe.
And you're also thinking about yourself. Yeah, so back then, I don't think your family wasn't there yet, right?
I thought about it, but I've always had this thing. Some people don't even know this, but I like look at people. I used to try to judge what I thought they made per year. I just look at their car.
That's funny.
I would see what their profession is. I'm like, okay, I think they probably paid this in tithes.
Did something different.
It was, I guess you could call it pocket washing. I've always been like fascinated to see if I like was.
So you could learn from them.
If I was right on par with like what I thought people was making per year. Mm-hmm. And I never told people this. If I was like to see some people I used to do it to, like as I was like a teenager, and I say, I was like, because one of my friends, his dad was like had a PhD. I forgot what he actually did. Mm-hmm. Then his wife was a lawyer or something. Okay, they got money. They had the house that was on the outskirts of the city when they moved here from New Orleans. So I know they got some good bread. So I would always say, okay, cool. They probably, 2, 3, maybe.
Mm-hmm. And also, that pocket watching thing you said could help you make some smart decisions. Imagine someone's trying to sell you on some bullshit now. And you just pocket watch. You just read their whole person. Mm-hmm. And you tell the line. At that point, you can help yourself out, too.
Yeah, I can always tell who's trying to convince me and versus who actually got it.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's important for you to also be, because I think me and you have talked about this before. You don't know about these other things if your family hasn't exposed you or if you don't have people in your family that do these things like project management, being in cybersecurity in itself, being in tech. Mm-hmm. If you're not exposed, you don't ever consider that as a career.
That's true.
If you never did a workshop, if you never were interested, if you never did a summer camp, if you never got any exposure to it, that's even off limits for you to even think about that.
What would y'all say are the, I'm sorry, I'm pivoting.
No, you're good.
Into another space, but like, what would y'all say are the highest paid careers in cybersecurity?
I don't know.
Like if you want to bake,
you know what?
It's based on experience.
It doesn't make any sense to me anymore.
Experience, industry, expertise. Mm-hmm. It depends because.
But you know, certain. Okay, go ahead, finish.
No, I'm saying, like, for example, like me and my boy was talking earlier, was talking about Tavion. And Tavion has been talking about the late stage startups and like the different money they have out there to where I think I sent him something that was paying two something. It's like, yeah, they want a lot of work and that's a little too low. I'm talking to people now that's paying, you know, you got jobs that's that's offering for his expertise, you know, no less than $250,000 base.
What's how long has he been in the space for?
Probably almost about as long as me. We both met each other. Let me get in the mic. We both met each other at McAfee. So okay. I met him back in 2017. Mm-hmm. And so he was actually interning at the time. Mm-hmm. To where the next year he actually started full time. And yeah. So around about the same time, and he had a lot of internships. So mm-hmm. a lot of experience, and he has a lot of things on his brag sheet. Mm-hmm. So I would say depending on expertise, because I've seen some GRC roles that's paying a lot. I've seen them like that's like in the twos and threes.
Mm-hmm. You know, something I could add to that is anything new, like AI right now is new. Anything that is new and is hot. You know, they don't have the workforce for it, so mm-hmm. they're throwing that crazy money out there. Like an AI engineer right now could be making 200 plus. Mm-hmm. Cloud security is DevOps, anything that is new and is
mm-hmm. anything. I think it's brilliant for the folks right now who I am seeing who are getting their master's or PhDs mm-hmm. in AI, setting yourself up for success, of course.
You're doing what is going to be needed later.
Yep.
And I just think if you already just got expertise, you can still pivot. Like, things that I think about, like our episode that we did before this, where we're talking about all these different use cases, scenarios for AI biases, and it's the LLM poison mm-hmm. and the hack, and how mm-hmm. do we prevent that? That's literally going to be a new, like, SecOps AI type of, like, stuff you're going
to
be
And you have to develop new technologies that can monitor those things, because it's not the same.
Yeah.
And a lot of organizations nowadays are focusing on shadow AI. That's mm-hmm. one thing that mm-hmm. companies are trying to get their hands off and get the people who have experience protecting the company from shadow AI. So,
hold on, we say, what do you mean by shadow AI?
So, there's a lot of people are using, you know, AI is used a lot in the workforce nowadays, and a lot of people don't talk about it because it's not something that is heavily spoken about. But people are grabbing data and putting in those AI, ChatGPT.
Company data.
Gemini, company data, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
As you're doing that, your data is being exposed to platforms that you don't have control over. So there's a lot of controls on how AI should be used in your company, what data is going, how data is exfiltrated.
Yeah, exfiltrated.
Exfiltrated in your company and all those things. So one thing I'm actually working on right now is designing a framework to help a company protect from shadow AI. Mm. So I just know that it's a hot field right now. All companies are trying to mm-hmm. get their hands on it.
Yeah, so and that's where, you know, you got your GRC, then mm-hmm. your insider threat, insider risk people, mm-hmm. they're going to stand to make big money from it. Because a lot of companies... Yeah. You can't put that information like on the computer. Mm-hmm. However, this is something I've brought up to people. And while I like technology and I don't, mm-hmm. I don't need to copy the stuff from my computer. I could take a picture of it with the iPhone and copy it. You see what I'm saying?
So security is not.
No, that's
the truth.
Insider threat is also a thing because, you know, threat. You could do all the security, perimeter security that you could do, but at the end of the day, mm-hmm. someone with a phone.
But data security and AI are going to become well versed and merged together.
Yes.
Even prompts, the prompts that people are running, you can run a malicious prompt, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. of course.
So you need to have eyes on.
And I think I've seen
that your
people,
users are. Running that's, while they're at work.
That's true. That's something else that because a lot of people are getting this different. That's something that just came out new. I saw it in the news recently. What was it again? People are downloading this different script from ChatGPT.
Yeah, and then plugging it into
It's giving them error. There's a word for it. I can't think of it right now, but it's something that is really heavily talked about right now that they are seeing.
And you can tell. You can tell when the script was written by ChatGPT and Gemini and these other tools.
Yeah, you can tell. You can definitely
tell. You can tell when someone's post.
ChatGPT.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
It got them dashes. Yep. It got them dashes.
Take out the dashes.
I had a dude help when he was take out the dashes. On a way to like pretty much like negotiate his salary. And it had. I said, take out the dashes.
Yeah. The dashes. I used to lead them in at first. I thought it made me look articulate. But then I was like, whoa.
No, they used
too
many.
They know that I don't talk like this.
And they use too many.
Yeah,
they use way
this,
too many.
Dash this, that. Like, stop.
I got another question for everyone. Maybe we could answer. What do you guys see as the problem with using ChatGPT? And not ChatGPT, just AI in general. In this nowadays, what's the big problem that you see with using ChatGPT or AI?
I think it get biases, but let's go a step further. It's removing the capability for people to learn how to think logically.
Yeah, critical
learn
thinking.
How to formulate your thoughts.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Now, for people who already know how to do that, uh-huh. it helps. Mm-hmm. But if you don't, okay, maybe some, throw it in here, boom. Yeah. Now you have even AI products trying to say, hey, we're not detectable by AI just to sell people because they advertising as college kids. Like,
no, that's the problem right there is what it's doing. And as a college student, you can use it to benefit you, of but course. You can also use it to hinder you. Mm-hmm. And I'm seeing a lot of students do that. Mm-hmm. Instead of doing the discussion, ChatGPT wrote the discussion for
but
them.
Honestly, discussions... I feel like papers use your brain, but discussions, I really don't understand why they even assign discussions. I don't want to discuss this with my fellow students.
And then, like, must be X amount of characters.
No, it'd be like, comment on two people.
You remember Chegg?
That's a lazy assignment anyway, so I will use ChatGPT for it.
You remember Chegg from back in the days?
Where you said review?
Not review, but you could ask questions, help it write your assignment.
You said Chegg?
Chegg.
Oh, Chegg.
Yes. Chegg helped us.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've gotten a tutor through Chegg before. I'm sure they're out of business. I mean, they're still in business. They're still in business, but I'm sure they're not booming like they were when we was in school.
Yeah.
I was going to say, while we're still on the topic of AI, like, I went to TechCrunch because I was like, got to be something crazy out here that I hadn't seen this week because I've been so busy. Mm-hmm. And this is an article that came out today. Mm-hmm. It said, famed AI researcher launches controversial startup to replace all human workers everywhere.
Oh, my God.
It's going on
that's
in China
just,
already.
That's just too far.
China has dark factories. It's called dark factories, basically where the light is not turned on currently. And they're basically running everything with robotics and AI. So it's eventually going to happen in some field, but...
I've seen advertisements when they're like, hire robots to do your job. Like,
basically AI agents and all that stuff too.
What is Elon Musk? Elon Musk is working on something like
that. We were talking about that earlier. But the company's called Mechanize, a startup whose founder...
In the United States?
And nonprofit AI research organization he founded called Epoch. Is being skewered on X after he announced it. I think I seen this on X where somebody was saying they're trying to replace everybody.
I don't think everybody could be replaced because human intervention is heavily needed.
Human touch, human emotions.
Mm-hmm. One thing I will say too AI lacks context. Like, it doesn't have context. Like, whenever you give it a prompt, if you want to get the best results or for it to actually solve a problem for you correctly, you have to give it context. Like, I am a this living in da da da.
Yeah, but now they changed it. ChatGPT remembers all.
Oh, it has the memory.
Yeah, it has memory.
I mean, it has memory, yes, but it still doesn't have context as to, like, our situation right now. Like,
okay, what's going on?
Yeah, like, right, even right now, if we wanted it to solve a problem for our filming right now, we would have to overly
give it information.
But it doesn't have.
It's the different levels of prompting because the average person is writing probably not even a 100 level prompt. It's probably a 50 level prompt.
Yeah.
But to get the data that you're looking for, that's a 300, 400 level prompt. Mm-hmm. That's why prompt engineering is such a powerful thing. Mm-hmm. Because if you know how to talk to it, like you said, it's going
to
give you.
Shout out to
prompt engineering. Yeah, you have to know how to talk to your AI assistant.
I'm going
to
plug ourselves in quickly. I'm going to say prompt engineering because we're using it to create our AI application that is coming out soon, by the way.
Okay.
Just giving a little bit of ourselves.
Yeah.
Working on an application to help you optimize your resume.
Mm-hmm.
And we fully developed between HackerProof. So.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I got a company that will be coming on, I think, next month.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nice.
Pretty cool. I've seen what they can do on the back end. So they do a lot of B2B stuff.
Okay.
With their product, which, if you want to be a real as a career coach, though I see the benefits of AI, what is happening sometimes is it's just recycling everything that's on the internet.
Mm-hmm. That's basically what it is because it needs that history. So it's pulling...
There's nothing new.
A lot of these people... But that's because a lot of people are fabricating their experience. Mm-hmm. So you're able to tell that they use AI to make their resume. I had a consult with a dude, resume full of AI. Mm-hmm. I looked at the job description and I said, so when these people ask you, hey, you know, tell me about your current day-to-day. He said, yeah, I'll be stumbling on that. I said, I can tell.
Mm-hmm.
But again, he didn't do the work. He have to go back and make sure that he knows. Because I feel like if an AI is going to replace your resume, the way we're building it is that, let's say, for example, you put the job description in and say, hey, based on this job description, change my bulletin points on the role that I have to make it match what they're asking for, right? And there should be like a checkbox that you have to click, say, I'm aware of everything on this job description.
But they still could be lying even when they hit the checkbox.
Well, at that point, they're the one lying.
I'm not. I'm just saying that the people, that's what I'm saying, they're trying to shortcut. So it really won't work anyway. And mm-hmm. then you got to think about if everybody's doing the same prompt, mm-hmm. how many of these resumes are going to show up at the same yeah. in a work day or something else?
Because like see, there ATS
application tracking system
industry.
Go ahead, sorry, Vicky.
I said I think that's also what's harming the job industry as well. It's like recruiters are getting the same tip copy paste
that plus
resumes, and it's just it's making it harder for people that probably actually have the right
experience.
Exactly.
But I feel like you're easily spotted in an interview because you can't talk to it.
That's yeah. the big problem. That's the biggest problem.
You
I
can
see.
Be a poor interviewer, mm-hmm. but you can still talk to it. But yeah. when you can't talk to it at all.
Exactly. That's when you get caught.
Well, yeah. that and then some stuff just don't match up when I'm just looking at the job title and what's on like.
It's like you just know you did all
know.
This.
I can imagine how it looks. I can imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, I got to give you access to the platform. So you just take a look at maybe give us your input.
Okay. Speaking of while she's searching something, how you feel about Google acquiring Wiz?
I use Wiz a lot.
I do too. My favorite.
Cloud Security Posture Management. That's one of the.
I would have to let you hear, but I was in an interview the other day, mm-hmm. and I might even cut this out. I don't know. And we was talking because the person I was talking to, uh-huh. I would essentially be taking their role. Uh-huh. And they was asking about my cloud experience, whatever. And I said, yeah. And, you know, we use Wiz a lot for, you know, blah, blah, blah. He said, man, I love Wiz. I was like, yeah, I use Wiz because it shows me this in a good graphical format, mm-hmm. and I'm able to make an enhanced decision like this, mm-hmm. whatever. And then we was like, he was loving everything I was saying, but I was like, I always big up Wiz, like for real. Because like I used Prisma before that.
Prisma Cloud?
I heard it was not good.
Prisma Cloud is okay.
It's okay, but it's not like Wiz.
Yeah.
Wiz seemed like it was built by people that actually worked in the cloud, did security, did vulnerability management.
Yep.
And it was. But the crazy thing is, only 5 years old, 32 billion.
Does it tell you
no,
about
but every company is using this. On the Gartner yeah. report is number one for cloud security posture management.
Yeah, but I'm saying the fact that it was able to scale that fast in 5 years, it's the Stripe of cloud computing. Yeah. Type of software
because it has so much value, like to what you guys are saying.
It does, and it's all based on Wiz framework, but they have different frameworks that you could plug into.
Yeah, and you could do it like based on like you said, different frameworks, uh-huh. and this pretty much works with like anything you got,
any mm-hmm. cloud, any cloud service. The plugin, the integration is crazy. They have so many integrations.
Oh my gosh!
And they have integrations with SaaS security products. They have integration with even your Confluence that has like mm-hmm. your full suite of What's the word
policies
for
policies and RFCs and whatnot? What?
You're probably right. Yeah. I don't know the word.
You know, what's funny. I have a guy. I forgot what his name is. They actually reached out to me. Mm-hmm. They have a platform that's similar to that, and I feel like they're going to get some market share because I think Wiz is going to get to the point where certain companies can't afford it.
Yeah.
Is it expensive?
Wiz is it's pricey.
I think it's affordable comparable. Because I think it made more sense for companies to use over Prisma. Because all these companies do is like Palo Alto will get it, slap their name on it, and try to upcharge. Mm-hmm.
Or if they have a product that is similar, they try to just...
Because Splunk did the same thing to Phantom. Like, Phantom was cool before it got acquired by Splunk. Mm. And then Splunk Phantom, and then it still started changing. Mm-hmm. Now, surprisingly, Xor is still good.
Xor.
That's Palo Alto. They took... it was Cortex, and then they bought it. And then it's Palo Alto, Cortex, Xor.
Security orchestration.
Remediation. Automation response. Yeah. Yeah, so it's just a SOAR platform. Okay. So...
Did y'all see what happened with MITRE?
So what is that all about? Is it that the United States are not sponsoring the CVE program anymore, or is MITRE?
I don't think it was the U.S. initially. I think it was MITRE who uh-huh. was funding it, mm-hmm. and then they were like, "No, I think they had a contract. Okay. They had a contract. It expired, and then they were basically like, yeah, we ain't gonna be maintaining the vulnerabilities no more.'" Yeah, well. And then people started thinking about how troublesome that was. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the government recently, I think 3 days ago,
with CISA, right? Yes, CISA come out and say they're gonna help.
Yep. Yep, and then they established something else after that to mm-hmm. basically ensure that they'll be able to be maintained. Because think about it. We all is in security in some mm-hmm. way, shape, or form. Uh-huh. Think about how terrible that would be.
Yeah, but
if you don't even know what to look for.
That's true. You know, I think I read about it also. Europeans started, they saw that what was happening with MITRE and CVEs.
Reached out.
They basically created their own EU CVE.
And the EU, they got it down packed.
You think so?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think
we need to look to them for guidance on how to get it together over here.
Wow. I don't really know too much about
that. They just value data privacy and security a lot more in
they've
Europe.
Been doing it.
Everybody does except
yeah.
us.
Yeah.
Because everybody wants the data.
Yeah. Data is currency here, so it's like
data is all. Yeah, I think we talked about it on one of our shows.
Yeah, if data is more valuable than gold, like it's a currency here, so it's not going to be protected. Like
so, I'm gonna read a post that I made on my LinkedIn, mm-hmm. and I want you to chime in on it because it's about I'll give context about why I made the post. Okay. And I was having a consultation with a young lady who has a DevOps background, but she was struggling to get any type of callbacks in any interviews in cybersecurity. And I looked over her resume. I seen that she did a fantastic project with like a hospital or something for either grad school. And I said, okay, send me the link of the latest job you applied to. And then match up. So I said, let me show you what you actually applied to. I was like, all these GRC roles, all these vulnerability management roles. Mm-hmm. You know these frameworks and know all this stuff. You can do it. And I said, you are also technical. It should be a breeze. And so that made me make this post. I said, in my opinion, it benefits you to be somewhat technical when looking to pivot into GRC versus having no technical acumen whatsoever. Oftentimes, GRC is touted as the easiest way to get into cybersecurity that doesn't require a lot of experience, yet the people that are looking to get in without the experience, they'll struggle to get in. Meanwhile, the people with some technical experience often pivot to a GRC role faster due to their understanding of the technology behind policy 100%. Controls. And I had a big poll. I said, is GRC truly non-technical? 16% said yes. 34% said no. 50% said a bit of both.
So my take on this is you have to know the technical. Like, if you want to be an excellent GRC analyst, if you want to be someone that's average, like that go, like, sorry to say average, but someone that won't be good at their job, basically, because keep in mind, you're talking to engineers,
technical
people day in and day out, and they know when you don't know your stuff too. Yeah. And they, you know, I like to say, like, I feel like engineers and DevOps people are like the more snarky.
Snotty. Yeah.
Yeah. The more snarky part of security, and they like to kind of challenge you.
They know what they're doing.
Thank you. And so how are you going to go in there and, like, let's say we're prepping for FedRAMP or SOC or whatever it is, and you're going to go in there and tell them, like, hey, I've done an assessment. I realize these are the gaps. And how are you going to communicate those gaps or know that it's a gap if you're not technical? Like, that's why you have, if you want to be good at your job and be good at your job and keep the job, you need to get technical. I had to learn that the hard way. Like, you really do.
I can even add on to that. I was doing, back then when I was in charge of Intune and just managing.
No, what's Intune?
You don't know.
I know what it is.
Endpoint management. It's the endpoint management solution by Microsoft. It's on their part of their suite. So if you have the E5 license.
And you can use it for mobile devices.
Mobile device, laptops. You can even replace group policy. I've seen organizations that no longer using group policy on premise are using the endpoint management solution, Intune, as their group policy. But yeah, I had going back to DRC, coming on DRC, I had one of my old places that I worked at. So I was working on GRC, right? Anyway, Intune. And the GRC person is in charge of creating the standard for how those configurations should be made. Mm-hmm. And she was asking me so many questions. I'm the technical one at that point. She was asking me so many questions. And at this point, I was like, looking, why is she asking me all these questions? I don't feel like she even knows how to do a job. Mm-hmm. So I feel like what you're saying there, they said that when someone from GRC is coming to you and, like, you know, don't have that knowledge, it makes it seem like, from a technical perspective, like, why are you coming to me and asking me things you don't know?
You lose respect. You lose respect amongst your peers.
You do.
And you get left behind, and they don't trust you to do your job.
They don't want to interact with you no
exactly, because everybody wants to talk to someone that's technically... If you're in a technical field, you want to talk to someone that's technically sound. If you're in a medical field, you want to talk to someone that's medically sound. Like, regardless if they're a this, a that, you want them to have some kind of knowing of what's going on. And so... if you're going to come into GRC thinking that I'm just going to come and just write policies and renew policies and change the date. That's like the rhetoric I hear. You're going to change the date on a policy and whatnot. Good luck.
Yeah. Go ahead.
That's what people are doing. They don't want to put the work in. They want to come over to the tech industry, cyber industry. They want to get the bag, but they don't want to put in the work. They don't want to learn. They don't want to struggle.
You have to.
That's they don't want to do good. Any of it. They just want to hit the ground running, doing mediocre things because they're scared to dive into the things that are difficult.
And it makes you better at your job.
Yeah, we just put this out there already. If you're going to go into tech, you need to learn because every day things are changing. Yeah. So what you'll be doing today is not the same thing you'll be doing tomorrow. So
facts. In 2017, I wasn't thinking about no AI, no AI governance, no deep fakes, no how many, you know, phishing things we gonna have from that or somebody impersonating the CEO.
QR code. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We weren't thinking about that. Now look at it.
And we're not thinking about something that's coming out in the next 5 years. Yep. Yeah. Like, for instance, when I was a GRC analyst at a law firm, it wasn't that technical. It was, I would say, also depending on, like, what company
organization you work for.
Thank you. It was not that technical. I just had to do the bare minimum, but I didn't have to know so much to get by and to do my job and to coordinate audits. However, working at a software company, a technical software company, mm-hmm. that has a cloud infrastructure, that has a physical product, that, and then we work with we have government customers, and we're integrated into so many different platforms. You're gonna have to know your technical stuff.
Yeah, I think that's what anywhere though, because you'll see somebody get hired, like I'll ping somebody on the side, like, hey, they not training them at all. Like, what are they doing all day?
But people also just don't even try to use their critical thinking skills. They will come ask you the question first before they come to you and say, hey, this is what I think.
It depends on what department, though. Yeah. If you're like GRC, I also caught you guys some slack because, again, you guys are involved in creating the framework and the governance policy and standard that most of these tool sets are using. Mm-hmm. So you might not be technically enough to write code or figure out.
Because we're not using the tools themselves. We just know what it should be, but we don't know how you guys are actually using the tool. So we need to understand so we can kind of make we can fit it for what we are.
I think it should be like better training than onboarding.
True.
But
I agree with
to be
that.
Honest, what company really have a great onboarding for?
Listen.
No, that's a fact. Onboarding is, they try, right? They'll onboard you to the culture of the company.
Not the
But it is difficult. It is very difficult to onboard someone because a lot of the times they don't have time for the documentation.
Exactly.
They don't have time for the step-by-step.
Exactly.
They don't have time to create the rhetoric that you can use to as a guide. You don't have time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because honestly, to your point, I think, like, for instance, a GRC analyst, like, a good onboarding would have been to have a round of intros with the different teams, understanding the different tools that the different teams do, use, like in like an hour sync with volume management, hour sync with DevOps, like just something to kind of give us.
So,
insight.
Here it go. So, with experience, when I did the GRC role, I was already years into my career. Mm-hmm. I already knew that when I get here, I need to schedule these meetings with all these stakeholders to figure out what they do and how our interactions will go.
Yeah.
So, if I have a question, I need to go to them.
That would be a good service to create.
That's a playbook.
Helping someone onboard their first 90 days in tech, just making sure you understand what they're doing.
Yeah, I did do that. Yeah. I made a thing for like the softwares I have to get access to so you can make it like more. Really, a CM request or something like that, so you can just everybody can get it at once versus individually submitting all the stuff, which takes forever. Like, no, make a package. This is the GRC, whatever VP package, and give them all this access.
Exactly, because I always have to ask for. And then also one thing about the access too is I think some companies because that it comes with a cost too. There's a cost stipulation with that because. If I have to ask for access to Wiz, they might have to purchase an extra license.
Yeah, they might have no licenses,
And they may just want me to be a bystander and just let us tell you
Or they could just make a shared account that you guys can access.
IAM is improving heavily. SailPoint is a tool that a lot of organizations should be using because we're just the right group. Mm-hmm. You grant access to that individual for everything that they need.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's how it is for me. Oh, I had to get a certain access to check out certain things to ServiceNow. Like, if I didn't have the auto access, I wouldn't be able to view nothing. And anybody who worked in security operations or IR, as simple as it sounds, ServiceNow come in clutch when you're trying to figure out what it is on the network. Like, for real. So
interesting.
One thing I want to put out there is that there's a lot of myths. My accent is kicking in. Sorry, Victoria, you might have to help me say that
one. Okay, which one is it?
There's a lot of myth with cloud security. MYTH.
Oh, myth.
Sorry, guys.
It's okay.
So
I might have to use that for the intro.
There's a lot of meat.
I thought you said meat too.
Yeah,
I said my boy is hungry.
So what are some of those myths for cloud security?
Because
she's in the cloud space. You could be in the cloud space too, because you know a lot of
I mean, I see some of the stuff, I guess, you know, about like, I was probably throw something about like Kubernetes or something.
Kubernetes? Okay. Oh, I can see. She's the
I'm
architect.
I'm trying to think about a myth.
I think people get scared of cloud in general.
I think that
you got to know how to code.
I think that you have to have a degree. You need to know how to code. I think it's also a myth that you need to be an expert at everything in the cloud, and that is idiotic. Everybody has their own
too many
role
services.
Exactly. Trust. So I think that's a myth that you need to learn the whole AWS platform, the whole Azure platform. That's not how it works.
Trust me, everyone is learning everything as the project is coming along. That's something people don't say a lot. I know a lot of people want to sit here and sound like they know
everything. Think about it, bro. They told us one day in the STO, hey, 3 weeks we moving away from Prisma. Y'all need to learn how to use Wiz.
The change management there is outrageous. Outrageous.
3 weeks?
Well, no, they had already, so I don't want to say it like that. They had been testing proof of concept.
Yeah, okay.
Same, but I'm saying as far as end user wise using it, y'all need to figure it out.
Yeah,
and it's easy for y'all to have rejected that because it wasn't provided to you in a way.
Ain't no rejection.
But you can reject change. It's not that you can change it, but it's still going to come.
It's who's paying the bills, and sometimes the contract could be Prisma Cloud probably got more expensive than Wiz.
And less useful.
They didn't give y'all any training?
There's not really any training. On Wiz.
But that's what I'm saying. The change management was terrible there. They were supposed to, in a way, baby step you. But again, like he said, if there was a contract thing and the contract was expiring here and they just got approval or word that we can use this, we don't have to renew. But still, ideally.
Those training could be those POCs, proof of concepts. Those are sessions that you have with the onboarding team from Wiz. That's basically the training you get. But beside that, you have to go in there, and as you're playing with it, even a new tool that I just started using recently is called Entros for non-human identity management, secrets and passwords that are open everywhere. And basically, there's no training. It's there. Go in there, start remediating risks, remediating incidents, and that's how you learn. Usually, you start learning from doing. So one thing about tech, like we said, cloud security, that you have to know everything. To this day, I don't even know half of what is in the cloud. I'm still learning as I'm doing new projects. So
yeah,
you only have one brain. The cloud is so vast.
But that's if that's how you're approaching studying to be in the cloud, you'll never make it. Because you should not be trying to learn every single different.
So what is a good playbook?
Yeah, and when I see stuff in the cloud, it's knowing they're explaining hey, we got to do this, we got to move this key, yada yada yada. Mm-hmm. We're doing this, so they already over explaining hey, everything that they have to do. So I'm like, cool. But I did have something that I found on X because I bookmarked it because I said I knew I wanted to talk about it on the pod. It's a tweet. Some guy said. I don't know, he took it from an engineering manager, but it said, from an engineering manager at a full remote company. Okay. In quotes, we just fired an engineer after 15 days on a job who lacked basic skills on the job, but aced the interview, clearly using cheat tools. He admitted to how he did it. He used iAsk, ChatGPT, and Interview Coder throughout.
See, that's something you should never... Hang on,
it's a thread. Let me see what else it says. I personally talked with this person and know them well. This company hired full remote without issue for years. This is the first proper shocker they have. They are changing their process, of course. In-person interviews, in part, likely to be unavoidable. That's
good. People who don't really know how to interview are the people who are going to suffer from that. But initially, you shouldn't really... If someone catches you on the job and you tell them exactly everything you did...
What is the context here? So he got the job and he did exceptional in the interview. Yeah. But when they saw 15
days later,
when rubber met the road, it wasn't going straight.
So they gave him something hard to do and he couldn't figure
maybe
it
not.
Out.
No,
he
couldn't
do
common basic tasks. Common basic tasks.
My thing is, why do you have the audacity to even want to go put a company yourself at risk?
Oh, because.
Wait, so he just willingly...
He knew he wasn't skilled. He used AI to cheat his way through the interview process, got the job, and got embarrassed because he couldn't do basic things.
You ain't never seen them TikTok interview questions?
I was just about to say, I've seen TikTok videos of people who are interviewing, and there's this little thing on the side, it's listening, and it's telling them exactly what to say.
Mm-hmm. But it's easy to figure out somebody's cheating, too. The issue, the flaw in that, if they were able to use tools, is you're giving them Googleable scenarios that the AI can figure out. The thing is, you got to give them something
that's not super typical.
Yeah,
like, yeah, like unique problems to your company.
Yeah, yes. The thing nowadays is that interviews are conversational. It's not really
technical.
I think it depends.
It's technical, but then again, if you're someone who's experienced and you go into that interview, you know, having that conversation, but as they're mentioning their tool sets that they're using, you're able to talk about it and give them ideas.
I think it has to do on, and it's the reason why I said they had to revamp who they get to interview, because some people is out to just dissect your resume and make you do bad. Other people actually want to have a conversation and see if you understand the stuff you use and how could you actually help our company. The latter is normally the better, but there are people that start asking you even super technical stuff that really is not pertinent to your job.
Even know
that you can, no, stuff that you can Google. So it's like, you ask me this, even if I don't know it now, I can find it because if I could just Google it. Ask me about something that y'all dealt with, or have I dealt with something similar at a job? What would I do and what did I do in that instance and how, like, you know, problem areas you got. Like, right, if you ask those things, that's a better inclination of what I would be like on the job versus, hey, tell me what happens when you type in google.com.
Yeah, or tell me about a time you solved a problem.
There's no time to go.
I think with the interviews, like the second one you described, I feel like that was one of the best interviews I've ever had.
Conversational ones?
No, where they looked at my resume and was like, all right, let's talk about what you have here.
Could you speak to it?
Yeah. Let's talk about what you have here and see if you know.
Actually, know.
Do you know it or not?
Yeah, but again.
But that's how you know that they take it serious at the company. They're not just going to hire you because you can answer, tell me about a difficult time. They didn't ask me that. That was not one of the questions at all.
Maybe a good blend of both, like grill my resume, but also tailor questions. Yeah, or like ask me how I would solve a problem that you're facing right now, because that's when you know you're hiring a quality candidate.
Like, only get grilled in like certain things. It's probably because they've probably been burned a lot, but like some of the stuff don't make sense. But like I'm more an advocate of give me, like, I had a process, and she knows about it, where I pretty much went to the end where they gave me a scenario and I knocked it out of the park because I had like an hour to finish it. And it was cool. It was like you were working like a instant response for AWS. And it was like, hey, how would you figure this out? What would you do here? What would you do here, dude? I was like,
guard duty.
It was like, cool. I was like, yeah, that cloud. What detections would you implement? I'll use guard duty, cloud trail. Like, so I was like, that's how you show I know how to do it. Cause
you actually go into steps on things that you use.
Yeah. So, and that was better. So, hey, they saw yourself. They want to talk to you.
I think it would be wise for them to think about whoever said it, asking questions about the stuff that you're struggling with, because I've seen roles be posted for 6 months or longer. The same role keeps getting posted and posted. You're not telling the candidates what you need to weed it out.
Exactly. You're giving us a generic job description of what a GRC analyst is. Okay, well, I'm going to show up as that, but like, what are you facing? What do you need? Like, be specific about, we need someone that knows how to do StateRAMP. We need someone who's like be specific about what you want us.
Do you want to go?
Her point on ghost roles. Why do you think companies post positions they don't plan on hiring for?
They have to, legally.
Well, they have to too. But when they want to flex, they want to give the impression that they're growing.
Is that what's happening?
No. That's, if you look it up, that's what they do. Yeah. They want to act like they're like growing and stuff is happening, so they can, like, especially if they're like trying to get funding, like they're adding people so they get more funding. Yeah, we're growing the business.
That's how you get workforce funded?
If you can show you got more workforce, you can take on more work.
Okay. I didn't know, because there's a lot of people applying to that are having a hard time finding jobs due to the fact that there's a lot of ghost roles out there too. A majority of the roles that you see 1,000 people apply to, none of them got a response.
I agree, but I also think there's a lot of people who are qualified because folks have been laid off for the last four years.
Big
so you have these same people who are qualified going against people who are also qualified. And the only reason they got let go was just because we're cutting costs.
I got a hot take. Some of them not qualified. They've been at their job so long that they're not qualified more.
Some boomers.
Secondly, like a job search tip for anybody is that when you're talking and you're in the screening interview, one, you need to be strategic about it. You need to get in, like, answers or ask questions about what their problem areas are. So write those down. Literally write them down so you can remember them, so you can prepare for them if you go to the second round. Two, you need to ask them verbatim, hey, what is the hiring manager actually looking for? Not what's on that job description, because we know that's a lot of BS. What they actually need.
Yeah.
Or, hey, if you don't know right now, could you get back with me and see what they say?
Yeah.
That is going to make you stand out. I tell my students all the time, you need to be thinking about what makes me better than the next candidate, what's going to make me stand out. Because if you think you're just going to come to class and do what we talk about and work on in class and be successful, mm-hmm. go somewhere else.
Okay. So the things you're teaching in class, do you also let your students know that this might not be what you're seeing exactly?
Yes.
In your day? Okay.
Right. Yes, and I set financial expectations with them as well. Okay. I'm like, I'm finna make six figures. Buddy, a lot of people aren't even making six figures. Yeah. They put on like they might be. Mm-hmm. They want to, mm-hmm. but that's not the reality of what's going on today. So yeah. I'm probably way more honest uh-huh. than a lot of instructors.
No, it's good. It's good. Yeah. I'm on yeah, and then also I'm honest with people too about like the timing. I feel like people think I'm just gonna start applying today and by next week, I'm going to be a six-figure tech. Because, like, all the, like, rhetoric that's online, I get so mad when I see...
You can make $1 million taking this boot camp. Gosh. Boot camp culture.
But listen, I hate that culture. Like, it's just, you're scamming people.
Listen.
You're scamming people. It's not fair.
I did a... I did like a. I talked to some high schoolers for.
You good?
It got a hot. It got a tight. But no,
because I see it when I'm scrolling. I'm like, I see 1,000 likes, 1,000 comments. No, people are just falling for it. I'm
like,
people
take out loans
people are taking out loans.
That's something we'll talk about later. I'll let you guys continue the conversation. But
no, mine was gonna be short. I was like, because y'all actually had them come on the show. New Course Nonprofit in Chicago, Ramala, and I think her. The other person with the nonprofit is Kina. I think I'm saying her name wrong. I hope I ain't butchering it. Mm-hmm. But they're pretty cool. Well, Molly used to do Salesforce. I think she still does do it. Mm-hmm. But funny enough, they introduced me to talk to the high schoolers. Guess mm-hmm. what the high schooler asked me?
What? How much you make?
Am I a millionaire?
Oh.
So it's funny. I said no, but I said I do have some friends that have experience that's been also making other investments and making money from other ways that have $1 million net worth.
Some other high schoolers that think they're going to take a 3-week course become a
what is the cause of that? I have an idea.
Social
what the
media.
It's flex culture. There's a lot of flexing now.
Yeah.
And people are just showing you
the lifestyle.
Yeah. Like look
the
at
lifestyle.
Me. I'm a
the lifestyle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like if I was to ever do flex culture, they'd be like, oh well. I'd be like, yeah, I've been doing this 15, 20 years.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I built.
It's not
this
like
up.
I got in last year.
Yeah.
And I made this number that's not real up. So I can get you to do the affiliates to the boot camps idea so I can I can start studying more.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Do you guys think that all this courses from the flex culture saying, hey, take this course and you just get into the field is hurting the market?
It is.
Absolutely.
Yes, but some of them are actually helping people.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them are not.
I think he's just referring on the ones that's actually like just making up unrealistic expectations.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm not gonna lie.
What's the dark skin guy?
I don't. I shouldn't put no names out there.
I'm not gonna.
I know exactly.
Yeah. No, you don't know. We don't know who you're talking about.
I mean, you know what? I'm not gonna do it to y'all because he was on your show. I'm not gonna do it to y'all.
No.
I'm not gonna do it to y'all.
No. Everyone that comes on our show is legit.
Yes. No scammers.
No scammers. But yeah, again, this flex culture thing is ruining the market. I think so. I think that a lot of people out there who are actually looking for a job. And if you have to go out to take out a loan for $35,000 or who knows how much.
And I know people that did. There's a $30,000.
We don't want to ruin potential clients for the future, but if you're taking out a loan for $35,000.
Just like, okay.
Hold on, you gotta either you text it to me because they know I ain't got no problem talking about them. Mm-hmm. And like I'll tell you to your face if I don't believe that. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm a person, like, if I bring you on, I just had the RPA episode, and I was asking questions like, hey.
That's fair.
I'm like, you know, my people know who I bring on here. It's like, what do you say, like, you know, what's your success stories, or people think you capping? Like, I ask them things because.
As you should.
They need to feel like, I don't want them to ever feel like I'm just bringing people on just to sell to them.
Yeah.
I know someone that, you know, I'm not going to say a name, but they're promoting themselves like they were in cybersecurity and made fortunes from cybersecurity, but. That's not really their start.
Yeah. A lot of people are doing that.
Mm-hmm. We always know
it's the power of social media.
Yeah, and I just okay. So the reason why I'm frustrated with this is because I just see like moms like
taking out loans,
just like people that should not be in doing those type of things that are desperate, like a desperate mom that just wants to make
that lifestyle.
Yeah, someone that just wants a better lifestyle, better income. go take out a loan to take your course, knowing that you cannot guarantee them that job. At,
dude, at months, the they six, don't have a job. They're crying. They're looking for someone else.
Then they go that because I people have come up. People have reached. So just yesterday, somebody reached out to me saying that they've been bamboozled by so many boot camps and stuff like that, and they just want someone to generally help them. And I'm like,
speaking of. It's why haven't I gotten y'all an affiliate link?
I've done a...
Get it. We should right? get one.
Yeah, I have one because I was like, I got the affiliate links. Because I run into that like all the time. It's like, like, listen, if you can't afford my program with Klarna Afterpay, then that means not the time for you to do it yet.
Okay.
I run into a lot of people like that. And honestly, I'll tell them sometimes, you ain't got enough skills yet. Come back when you did this and this. Unless you just want to get coaching. Mm-hmm. And like the other advice I have for you that's going to take you far to keep you accountable on this roadmap. By all means, because I work with people with like no background from construction to get to be a cloud engineer, working at the airport to get their first IT job. It can, but I tell them in the beginning, I'm saying, hey, I ain't going to give you a time frame. It's realistic, but it could take some time.
It can take some time. That's the realistic story.
I don't think boot camp culture needs to be canceled. I think people need to really do their research. And if you have someone that you can reach out to who's already in the field, reach out to them. Reach out to them and ask them, do you think that this is going to be worth the investment that they're asking
and
for?
I think the boot camp's just to stop lying to people. I think just stop lying to people and be realistic. Make a good point.
Go ahead. I got a challenge for audience.
Okay.
Audience, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do a, is this boot camp a scam? Boot camp. Hold on. Is this boot camp a scam video?
Okay.
So I'm going to have the links to send us messages or ask us questions on voicemail. And we're going to do about 3 or 4 boot camps that you guys have seen that has outrageous offers and claims. Mm-hmm. You give us the information. Mm-hmm. I'll go look it up. We'll review it. And I'll actually just show it like, hey, no, I don't believe this.
Yeah. And I think those boot camps.
I like that challenge.
Whatever knowledge they're getting from those boot camps, you can get it from a free mentorship service. If you, like you said, if you know someone in the field.
Yeah.
And that person is willing to help you have those.
But that's key word. They got to be willing.
No, what I said is they should take the boot camp, whatever website, and send it to that person and say, hey, what do you think of this? Do you think this is worth $3,000?
Yeah. And y'all could do that for me too.
Do you think this is an investment? Do you think this is a good investment for me? Yeah. Because there are some. Folks who have programs that are going on that are actually helping people land. So I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the people who are getting on the internet saying you can make 6 figures in 30 days.
That's what I'm saying.
So if you see someone heavily promoting you can make 6 figures in 7 days, they're trying to scale.
And it's an ad.
If they're running an ad on Instagram. If they're running an ad on Instagram and it says, I will guarantee you a 6-figure job, blah, 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 blah. Chances are they probably helped 1 or 2 people. You know what I'm saying? Like that's where they got the confidence to do that. Skill, but they're not being you're over promising and you're under delivering because not everybody's gonna get a 6-figure.
Six figures of monopoly money.
Do you know how long it takes people to get to 6 figures? Okay. Skilled people.
Like him, man, I don't want to say what I know.
And also, if you have questions about GRC, I'm a open resource. Exactly. Like, Mickey, reach out to us.
Oh, by the way, we have a free mentorship service that we host on GroupMe. This monthly, we have it on AI, cloud security, GRC, SOC analyst, and so much on. So if you're looking to get free mentorship without relying on those boot camps.
Yeah. If you just want someone to give you a
link in
real,
our bio.
Yeah. We're having a session in
May. Having one in May for GRC, and I'm also having one with Kambi, who's part of Hackerproof for cloud security. And one of our partner, Prince, is having one for AI. So if you're interested in AI, he's a AI manager at Microsoft. So he has a lot to say and a lot to give. Yeah. So join our boot camp. I mean,
we'll give you guys the link for the group meet that so that they can sign up for the mentorship.
Yep. I don't know how the posting is going
to
go.
It matter. Whatever you want. I mean, we'll probably have different stuff on the descriptions.
But no problem. But just to help people.
I did a boot camp.
Or y'all can join the Discord and put it in the Discord.
Yeah, we'll do it too.
I did a boot camp before.
You've hosted one?
No, I've been in a boot camp.
Okay, what was your experience?
I learned a lot, but it was not for me.
Okay.
But I learned a lot.
Can I ask what course it was for?
It was for A+ and IT support, and that's what
I don't think a boot camp is needed for that.
Yeah,
no, for a certification. Listen, it was not, but everything I learned there definitely helped propel me.
Cool. Okay,
it's like everything started making sense. I don't feel like it would have. things would make as much sense to me if I didn't have that as a foundation. Just how does it even
shameless
work?
Plug. You can do
the IT formative course. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say shameless plug. You can do the IT course at Course Careers, or you can check out KF Tech and do his course on Udemy.
Udemy is not free.
Course Careers course, they have like a free trial you can go through, but it's not free. But I tell people, if you're trying to get into IT, I have a much better success record of telling people to go do that because you're going to get a program. I mean, a project to do and learn actually just some fundamental IT support skills and that you can actually start interviewing versus you studied the A+, but you just got an A+, but you don't know how to do anything because you didn't do anything.
Okay. And we did do a lot of labs. We did a ton of different labs. That's
good. So it was informative.
It was definitely informative. Yeah. But then one day I woke up and I was like, I don't want to do IT support.
Okay.
And I was thirsty at the time. I was thirsty to get exposed to something to try to help me, you know.
Yeah.
IT support is actually the way I got started, but it's also good because if you're someone who don't really have that tech knowledge, it's a good baseline to start from. I won't lie, because it gets you that technical understanding of mostly everything, because you're working with IT support is basically working with all different teams to make sure you're doing their level one support for whatever they're doing. So IT support taught me a lot in cloud security. So I won't lie, people who are looking to get straight into the field and just start making a difference, you might have to start with a help desk role. That's something that might be your only route.
Yeah, for sure. And that's why I work with a lot of IT professionals who have that's probably mid-level in their career. And it's much easier for us to pivot in the cyber than the people with no experience.
It's true.
Like, I'm very honest with that. Like, I have sysadmins coming to me all the time. So, I'll be doing security engineering.
And they can easily make that transition.
Yeah. I just had a guy.
But they don't know.
He just went from that. Funny enough, he was doing sysadmin stuff and security engineering stuff at a law firm.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And now he's working remote, being a security engineer for this company that does something for credit unions.
Okay.
I gotta ask you guys this. You think that remote lifestyle is eventually going to go away?
No.
You don't think so?
No.
How come?
I think
it will go away at most companies maybe, but the companies who figured it out and who trust their employees and who are still progressing and growing, no.
Okay.
I think it costs
a lot of money.
Yeah, I think it's still here to stay. I think the other companies, they are smarter and just investment and realizing, hey, work requires flexibility.
Yeah.
Also, certain people with certain experience will still be able to be remote because, hey, why do they need to come in?
Yeah. And
because
you
limit yourself to talent if you're going to focus on certain cities.
Just Houston, just Dallas. Yeah. Like, you get to now have somebody in France and Europe and China, Tokyo.
I never even thought about
France?
Doing American work?
Yeah, my company has we have people that work in Europe.
Oh, but your company is global.
It's a global company,
Sometimes,
I get what you were saying.
Sorry, what was he saying?
I think he was thinking it's just a US-only company.
There's no need for you to have that relationship with someone
But if it's a global company, you can hire talent.
My company's, they're staying remote.
Those remote. I think after COVID is when that remote change happened for a lot of companies, and it's been amazing. It's allowed us to focus. We're not working in company time, but just allowed us to focus on building our own brand, and just doing things for our own self. Because when you work out in the office, you go in the office at 7, you start driving to the office maybe at 7, get there at 8. By the time you leave, you hit traffic at 5:30. In traffic 6:37
the whole day. True.
And by the time you get home, you're tired. You don't even want to do nothing else.
Don't even mention if you're in a place Houston or
don't
Dallas.
Have kids.
You gotta leave,
and you have to come home and be a parent and a spouse.
Extracurricular activities.
Yeah, sports, picking them up.
If you stay out here in Houston, you waking up super early just to make sure.
Houston.
I thought you said if you stay out here in.
I was saying if you stay in Houston Dallas, traffic's so bad, you have to wake up early to make sure you're there, and then when you hit the bad traffic. You've been out the house about 12 hours a day.
Yeah.
And you still got to get home and try to spend time.
And maintain your household.
It's exhausting.
Maintain your household.
Yeah, so thank God for remote work.
Yeah, because jobs rarely pay you enough to stay close to the job.
Yeah.
That part right there.
But one thing I do notice is that a lot of people that work remotely, their chance for promotion is...
Dale?
Yep.
Yes, when we talked about that. When Dale was basically like, come into office or don't.
Yep.
And then if you don't, you're not going to get promoted.
A lot of companies
taking
that blueprint.
A lot of people are like, well, fine. I don't care.
Because That remote.
Look, I'll go stay where the cost of living is super cheap. I don't care about getting promoted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So. But not everybody would. Some people would care about getting promoted. Yeah. But I think we all somewhere comfortable in our career right now that it won't. I don't care about getting promoted.
Yeah. And I think like with remote work, I realized something is because you're not in people, because you're not in the office, you don't get to be in everyone's face all the time. It's kind of like social media where you have to make your presence known somehow at work. Like making
visibility.
It's like you have to go the extra mile now to be in people's faces. Like
you're doing more work.
I
do miss that component.
Of like you're just all
of being able to turn around and say, hey, didn't last week you have a scenario with so-and-so? Or
exactly.
What remember we were talking? Because now you have to schedule time to talk to that person.
Yeah, it's like, let me put time on your calendar. It's not quick, and you have to find time on the calendar.
If it's someone on your team, I feel like if you guys have a, you know, open, like a friendly relationship, you can easily just ping that person.
Oh, yeah.
Say, hey,
they could be busy and probably can't get
to
you.
That's true.
Yeah, what we used to do when we first started at Opta was, we just had like a Teams chat stay open all day. So if you ever need a question, you just jump on there. Hey, y'all working on this? So technically, that's one of the ways you can do it.
Mm-hmm. I actually like that idea. Just a call that's going all day. And if you just want to pop in and feel
like a running meeting?
Yeah.
Like you feel like you're there with someone.
You can go pop in anytime you want to.
Was this someone that said that? They said that, would you rather work remotely and have like be on a meeting all day where you have to have your face on camera?
No, you don't have to have your face on camera for this.
Okay, you don't have to have your face
on camera. No, it's just voice.
It's just there.
Unless you just want to be and show people your haircut or your makeup.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I got something else. Since everybody works remotely, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do you guys feel about those instances that when you get on a call and they want you to show your face on every call?
I don't like to do it every call.
I don't like to do it every call, but mm-hmm. it is important to show your face when needed.
When needed.
Like for team meetings, meeting with your management, mm-hmm. meeting with your teammates.
Certain incidents,
friends,
I might do it for a little while, so you know I'm there. But I don't lie, I got my avatar down peg on Teams. My avatar being a meeting.
You did the AI.
Yeah, I like avatar.
I don't mind coming on, but. You know, like I do, I might be this close to the screen.
If I'm engaged in the meeting, I'm cool. But if it's not really pertaining to me, my attention span will start making me do elsewhere. I get sleepy. I'm like, you don't need to see that. Let me just...
Yawning.
Yeah.
And sometimes you could be eating or you could have a shirt on that
you
don't want to show
on. They get them cardboard cutouts of themselves and just sit in front of the camera.
Really?
Yeah.
They don't catch them?
But you know now... They got the AI deepfake tools now. Oh, so you can make your own AI deepfake.
Don't mess up remote work for us.
They already have because...
They already have because they was cleaning up, sleeping, cooking, not at home.
Interviewing for other people.
Yeah.
You know, people that put that on social media, the one ruined everything
for sure.
Why are you putting that kind of information online? And even though it's a joke, why would you want to put that online and create that perception that people are not...
I don't mind the jokes, but when you actually like... doing it, like, because you know what I'm saying? I had sometimes where I like my lunch, you know, it might have been a little longer. I got a massage, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
My team was a little flexible, you know what I'm saying? We all cool. I'd be like, hey, I think I'll get my haircut. I'll be back. Yeah. All right, like, we was cool.
You have your report.
I wasn't on TikTok, you know what I'm saying? Working and go get a haircut while I'm in the middle of the day.
Because that can come across as taking advantage.
Imagine the CEO of a company seeing that, or the CIO seeing that.
Exactly.
You're done. Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of them lost their jobs during that period, too, when they were doing that.
Well, we've been recording for a while now. This conversation just keeps going.
But that's why a lot of people, they, you know, end up getting fired. A lot of them already weren't qualified to do jobs. All the big companies were just taking talent so the other people couldn't hire them. So that came into play. It's only been a handful of people that took advantage over the last 5 years that's really actually built themselves a career out of all this.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like remote work is what you make it.
And if you don't want to be remote, you can co-work.
Yep.
I co-work all the time. Mm. And if you don't
a good co-working, cute little spot.
If you don't want to co-work, talk to your manager and say, hey, I want to come to wherever you at, headquarters or whatever, for a week. Like, get your corporate card and let them fly you out there.
It's good to always show face. So they know, hey, this guy is actually still
here. Ain't nothing like a good work trip. Try to go stay in the most expensive room you can, you know what I'm saying?
For limited budget.
Listen, when I went to SplunkConf on the company dub, I ate good all the time off that company card. Man. I'm talking about, what's my spot I like? A little brunch spot. They got one right by the Galleria, too. And they got one by our Galleria.
Oh.
I can't think of the name of it.
Brunch spot by the Galleria.
It's good. It's outside of brunch. They do lunch and what's called, too. It's, I don't know. I cannot think of
what's up? I don't know.
It's good though. I can't think of the name, but it's really good, and I like eating it. I just don't ever stop at it here because it's always a lot of people at the Galleria, and I hate dealing with like waiting. Mm-hmm. Waiting. I'd rather go in the middle of the day with nobody there. Yeah.
What is something that you guys are working on? Whether that's
Let's plug ourselves in now. Which camera do we look at?
Your camera.
Yeah. This camera. All right, Vicky, you want? Let's talk.
No, somebody go first.
All right, let's talk about Tech Mixer. Yeah. We're taking it all US. Is that global? That's not global. All US wide, we're doing Tech Mixers all year. The next one we have is in June in Atlanta. And when is this video coming out again?
Probably come out in a couple of weeks, to be honest.
Okay. We're doing one in June, and we are collaborating with Techsgiving. Techsgiving, yeah. Tech is the Wave, and Foster, which are two big organizations in Atlanta, and Techsgiving, everybody know them, of course. So look forward to that. Jungle Gym, yeah, crossing my fingers.
Really excited about
it's coming in Houston. We're trying to help people actually get that knowledge that they need, that technical knowledge. Mm-hmm. AI, cloud security, just different space in tech. That should be, by God's grace, our first conference is Hackerproof HQ. Mm-hmm. And just look forward to more interesting podcasts from us. And Vic, you want to talk about the mentorship session?
Yeah, so the mentorship session is something that we just started. Kempi and Daniel just had their first one.
Good turnout. So great appreciate turnout. You guys are coming in to learn.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you guys for showing up. If you are somebody that doesn't have someone that they can call to ask about what is GRC, what is cloud security, what you don't have resources or someone you can call, this is a great, great place for you to sign up. Come on to our Zoom meetings. I'm doing mine in May. I'm going to set the date and let everybody know. But come on, where I'm going to tell you about, okay, so what is the what the reality is of what this.
Look forward to the date in the description. We'll have it in the description of what date we have all our mentorship session.
Okay.
So if you're someone who doesn't really have that tech. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, someone that doesn't have a mentor. You're good.
Take it back.
Someone that doesn't have a mentor, this is a free resource, a free Zoom class where we're going to be the mentor for you in that session. And I'm going to just tell you the real about what I do. What are the different things that you've heard of SOC 2, you've heard of ISO, you've heard of this, but you don't really know what it looks like, what it entails. It's a place for you to come see it, ask questions. Rob, like I said, like just I want to be as honest and as helpful as possible to people. So this is a great space for you to come do that. So tell a friend and
mm-hmm. And finally in. I know we've plugged ourselves too much. This is the last one. We have a AI application coming out soon. It's to help you optimize your resume. We've been working on it for months now, and basically helps you optimize your resume. Bring all jobs from all the job boards into our platform so you can easily apply from there. It's through API integration. And we also help you be successful in the first 90 days of your job by providing you tips, who to reach out to, and just things you need to do to make sure you're successful. So if you want to join the waiting list to try it out, link is on our website. Just click on it, put in your email, put in your name, and you'll be notified once it comes out.
We're trying to help, guys. Like, this is all just trying to help.
We're a helpful platform.
Yeah, just trying to help.
Yeah,
there's a lot of bluff.
And I'm going to say also, they will be doing a pop the balloon at that Tech Mixer in Atlanta.
We probably should.
So if you're trying to find your love, your next love, your tech bae.
Come find them. Come
through.
Come pop your balloon.
Come through.
And,
yeah.
Okay, wait. I was asking, what are y'all, what new skill set are you guys trying to learn, if any?
They're trying to do their shameless plug.
But shameless plug it up. But what, like, are there any new trends, skills, things that you're interested in doing? Maybe something you don't do on a day-to-day that you're interested in?
Yeah, I'm trying to, I do Kubernetes a little bit, but I'm trying to get more deep into it. Just know
sound
exactly.
Sound like me.
Know exactly how it works up mm-hmm. and down. Know how the cluster works, how the nodes work, mm-hmm. how to integrate with the kubectl.
I think so.
How to interact with that and just gain more knowledge in that, because mm-hmm. I think being in the cloud space and knowing how Kubernetes work is a good combination.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Personally, I've always been fascinated by the cloud. Honestly, even though I'm a GRC analyst, I only get to understand it but not really work in it, not really know what's going on, and it's always been like cloud. I really love cloud.
Come to our next session.
Yeah, honestly, like I just love cloud engineers, architects, all of you guys. I just think what you do is so incredible. So I'm actually taking an AWS cloud what's the cloud
practitioner
certification course right now to dive deeper in it. Like, that's like my first step to really getting like a sound foundation on it. And then that's how I wanted to ask you, what's a good playbook for someone that isn't in the cloud but would like to dive into it? Because that's
platform AWS, right?
Yes, AWS.
I got two courses you could probably do on Udemy. I did a video on passing it like what, 4 or 5 years ago? I can't remember.
You had one on there?
Yeah.
Oh,
if you type in how to pass cloud practitioner, I did one.
Okay, I bought this. I'm gonna show you after the call. Okay. I'm gonna show you who I'm watching right now. But let me know,
like,
which one you do.
Stefan Merrick and somebody else. They like really good, and they always update their material.
Okay, yeah, so I need to know who to actually.
We just actually did some actual official Amazon AWS training at work, like security engineering training.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty cool. The dude talked a lot, but it was cool. Like, he definitely let us hear himself talk.
You know, the best training is when they have us do stuff. I feel like that's when I learned the most.
Yeah, we had to. I learned how to use like Amazon KMS and Macy, and we were setting policies and for like S3 buckets on like who can upload and what.
So yeah, the policy. Yeah, I know what you mean. It's a JSON kind of like template that you edit, right?
Yep. Yeah. Okay, so we're doing that type of stuff. And we got some stuff on the way with some live GRC Ask Me Anything video.
Oh, nice. Invite me on there. I want to come.
She's in GRC.
Yeah.
I might. I don't know if you're on. Are you on X, Twitter?
I am. I can log in through our HackerProof platform.
Okay. No, I can do it through. I could get to you through Kyrie, because Kyrie's supposed to be on that too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he is? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the only person that hasn't been on the channel. The other two people have actually been on the show already, so we had some really good GRC episodes, and people always want to know about it.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to host it and say, hey, ask away. So it'll be a live format, and it'll be something that live on forever.
I just did one like 2 weeks ago. I really like those type of forums, because it helps dispel like lies myths and myths, and people get to actually get the real answers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we got Cyber Shorty over there.
Cyber Shorty, tell us what she got going on.
I think
go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I can't remember if we ever congratulated you on getting your certification.
Which one?
I got the SE100.
SE100.
It's the Microsoft Cybersecurity Architect Expert.
Congratulations. Yeah. What are you not? You're everything at this point.
I am planning to get back into my content bag, because I had to really hone in and focus in on some things and get some things, solidified. But for me, I actually want to do more. I want to put stuff together.
Okay.
So I've been looking to figure out what I want to do with a couple Raspberry Pis. Mm. I've been saying for like the last few years that I want to make a smart mirror, but I think I want to make a cybersecurity news feed using a Raspberry Pi, just like a little small mirror, something that I can have
like
the feed. Just kind of like
okay, look at you,
like a RSS feed or something, like that. But yeah, nice. I want to get more into building things that I can talk about what I did, so that people can kind of use these as templates or
I want to start doing that too. Yeah, templates and guides and playbooks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that'll be really good.
Yeah.
For sure.
Congratulations again.
Thank you. Thank you.
I don't know what I'm working on. I'm working on a lot.
Yeah.
We need another hour.
Yeah. Content. I'm reframing a lot of stuff I'm doing with the coaching business. So you guys be on lookout.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be sending a lot more market research emails from me and different type of posts for that. We finally got a team working on the back end of it. So we are taking it to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
And I also got some content. I found out through the market research that a lot of the guys that watch the channel are still trying to get into tech. So I'm probably going to start making some more how to get in or what I do, that type of content for you guys, because you're still lost. And I'm trying to find you.
Right.
Do you guys consider cybersecurity to be under tech? Because I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do.
It's encompassed of it, because you use a lot of tech with it. We just got to keep it secure.
Yeah.
But what we're going to do is... How do they follow y'all, like, on all platforms?
We have a link tree. So the link tree has our Instagram, our TikTok, our... basically everything. Well,
Instagram, TikTok, Twitter.
Oh, our own personal profile?
I'm saying, what about the people who just are driving in their car and they're not on YouTube, so they need to...
Oh, we available on Apple Music, Amazon, and Spotify. So if you want to listen to our podcast on the go, hey.
How do you spell it?
Hackerproof HQ.
No, but I'm doing it because I'm thinking about the people that's listening. They don't see that.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Hackerproof HQ. Victoria, your accent is more clear than mine.
Oh, gosh.
So if I say H, I say, what is that?
Okay, Hackerproof. HackerproofHQ. One word.
Multiple words.
Well, it's multiple words grouped together, though. We like in our aliases. Well, they're spelled differently on different aliases.
Actually, she said it right. I'm just facing around.
If you need to say okay, so like on our Instagram, it's one word. Mm-hmm. I think on our YouTube, it's probably different. Mm-hmm. So if you type in the one word, doesn't pop up. Separate the HQ or yeah. So that's what it is for those listening.
Okay, and then y'all. You got any personal profiles or y'all want
to? I don't care about giving out my personal
shameless plug. I'm a shamelessly plug myself. As y'all know, my name is VZ. Well, my alter ego. So on Instagram, it's call_me_VZ, VEEZY. Yeah, you'll see my like travel side, tech side.
I'm just a support. My page is a support page for Hackerproof. So if you follow Hackerproof, you see what I post. So nothing really.
What about your TikTok?
I'm trying to hide this TikTok.
My TikTok is supposed to be my own personal safe space. I don't care about people following me there. If people find me there, they find me there. But I don't really care about plugging myself because what we are pushing is Hackerproof. So I'm just going to use Hackerproof as a brand and just have that in general. But follow Hackerproof and you know all you need to know about us in tech.
Yes. Yep. Yes. You'll see everything we have, the rest of the team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My personal profile is a joke, so I don't...
yeah. And how do they follow Cyber Shorty?
Yeah.
I am mostly on Instagram and YouTube. Mm-hmm. So Cyber Shorty, CyberShorty. E-E-E.
Hey,
so three E's good. In Cyber Shorty.
I'm you right now.
Yes. So yeah, that's how you can find me. And I'm also on YouTube as well.
And she's eventually coming to Threads. It's less intrusive than X, and it connects us to so many people locally. That's why I like using it.
Oh, okay.
You know, there's a thing that you could do now on X that said, connect me to this. And it actually works. Mm-hmm. I tried it recently, and I just typed in, connect me with people in tech. And like 20 people liked it. I don't even go on X. So I was like, I might be on it now.
And follow me, everything is really, two ways. You either can follow the podcast or find it anywhere at The Textual Talk. And Textual is TECHTUAL.
I love that name.
The Textual Talk. You can go to textualtalk.com or you can find us anywhere, the podcast streamers. And if you want to follow like me, you can just find me everywhere at Textual Chatter. That's one word. So Textual spelled the same way. Chatter is together. And you can pretty much find it across like all platforms, Threads, Instagram, not LinkedIn, but
not LinkedIn.
X. I mean, on LinkedIn, you know, it's my name.
Okay.
Henry Davis, HENRI Davis. You can find me on there. If you want to follow me on LinkedIn, leave me a note when you follow me. If not, I will not accept you because I have like close to like 1,000 invitations just sitting there because I don't know who y'all are. Bet. So
someone's popular.
That's been throughout the years, but I'm at close to like 35,000 followers now. Ooh. On LinkedIn.
On LinkedIn. Yeah. That's dope.
I'm trying to get up there.
Yeah. But I appreciate you guys watching.
Until next time, stay textual and stay hacker proof.